Join me this morning in the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. Thank you for remembering my birthday, even though I did remind you a couple of weeks ago. But we appreciate that. I had never in my life gotten a balloon. I got two balloons this time for my birthday, so I can celebrate in a big way, two balloons. Pringles and squirt cheese and crackers. Just got a big thing of nuts. Every morning I eat just a little bit of mixed nuts. So I go through them, but boy, I got a sash of them now. I got a whole bunch of them. But we appreciate all the text and, you know, all the notifications and reminder. Do you ever think about why do we sing happy birthday to somebody? It seems like the only reason is to embarrass people, isn't it? You just want to see them embarrassed when you sing happy birthday to somebody. And everybody just loves that, to embarrass somebody. But I'm not sure why we do it. Mark chapter 2, starting verse 24, right toward the end of the chapter. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. And his disciples began, as they went, to pluck ears of corn. And a Pharisee said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need, and was a hungered, and he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them that were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Verse 27 is really the text of our message, where it says the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath was made for man. The context, there are three criticisms prior to this, including this, where first the Pharisees, they're complaining, why do you eat and drink among publicans and sinners? It was right after the call of Levi, the publican, and he invites him to his house, and all these people, friends, or so on, are gathered together, and Jesus sits there and talks to them as they have a meal. And there was a second one, why do your disciples not fast? And then the third one was about the Sabbath, which we just read here. Why do they which is not lawful on the Sabbath day? There were answers, of course, to each one. The first criticism, it's pretty clear that to the Pharisees, they would look at, here are people that are obviously sinful. They're not godly people. The Pharisees are trying to live by the commandments of God in a very strict sense. There is a sense in which we as Christians have to be careful who we associate with, especially young people. If you get the wrong friends, and it's detrimental, it tells you what kind of person you are and where you're headed if you get the wrong company. That's a legitimate concern. But on the other hand, the gospel tells us that we're to go out in the world and reach people with the gospel. We are to love sinners. And Jesus is showing us this example of loving people that need salvation. He said the people that are well don't need a physician, but people are sick. So he didn't associate with them to enjoy worldliness. He associated with them to give them truth in the gospel. The idea of fasting, that the issue is a somber one. It's a serious thing and a sacred thing to fast. And they said, why aren't the disciples fasting? And Jesus explains to them that he was with them at that time. That's a time of joy. It's a time of blessing. Just like coming back to church, it's a time of joy, a time of blessing. Spending time with the Lord is a blessing. When he leaves, he said, it's going to be different. But now that's why they don't fast. And that didn't mean they don't fast at all, because he told them that the demon could not be cast out, because that kind cometh out, not out but by prayer and fasting. But this celebration or special fast season, he said they don't have to do that because there's joy he was there right now. And then that brings us to the Sabbath and the question about the Sabbath. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The Sabbath to the Jewish people was a rest day. It began Friday at sundown, and it ended sundown on Saturday. It was something that was observed by them, and when they asked that question, they thought he violated the Sabbath, that no work should be done. But remember, to the Jewish people, they went to such detail to explain how you might break the Sabbath or do something that would be prohibited. As an example, there were so many paces. You read in the Bible, something was a Sabbath day journey. Well, they had it figured out. You can go so far, you go an extra step, and you violated the Sabbath. There were writings that if you dragged a chair across a dirt floor and it created a furrow, that's plowing, and that's prohibited on the Sabbath. They went to the extent that there were things that God never intended when he explained about the Sabbath, that they made those rules so difficult to follow, you couldn't even remember them all. That was not the purpose of it. As we read about the Sabbath, there was a reason it was given. You've got to stick with me now a little bit because we're going to go through some history, all right, some information. I believe that what we know, our teaching, our doctrine, establishes how we behave and what we do. So it's important to have a certain amount of information. But it seems like an innocent act of walking through a cornfield, plucking some ears of corn, eating that because they were hungry. Remember, when they left, he said, don't take scrip or a second coat. We're just going to go out and you'll see God provide for you. Well, this was not an unusual thing for them to do, but because it was on the Sabbath, they said, this is not lawful. But it was a trivial formalism established by the Pharisees and Jewish leaders. Jesus then defends his actions, and he gives three arguments. So we'll talk about each one of them. First of all, he quotes David. He said, remember David when they would know this, but remember David when he and his army, they were hungry, they went into the temple or the tabernacle and took of the showbread? You remember that? There was a reason that he's giving this example, something they were familiar with, and it showed that there's a purpose behind the law. It's not just strictly following the law. It's not just the details of it, but the heart and message of it. There was a need, and it would not prohibit them from going in and taking advantage of that. Then there was a second that shows the meaning of the institution of the Sabbath. It was provision for man's benefit. That's why it was there. The Sabbath is for man, not man for the Sabbath. God did just say, I'm going to set an arbitrary day and you can't do anything. And this is, you might even look at it almost as punishment. You sit at home and don't do anything. Now, it's your responsibility to follow that because I set the rules. Rather, he saw a need of man and said, I'm going to provide a need for man. This is going to help man. This is for man's benefit and it will be a blessing. He teaches then the principle about religious observances. They're not a means to an end, and they're never to be regarded in a way that the end sacrificed the means. There was a purpose behind it. Thirdly, he declares that he has the right to make a decision and control that which is good for man, that God knows more than we know. He makes better decisions than we make, and because he's God, he knows what's best for us. So he gives three arguments about and defending why they did what they did. That brings us to our key verse. God's gift to man is the Sabbath. It was a gift. It was for God's saying this is a benefit. And we're going to talk about the history of this so that we go through the scripture. I think it will benefit some people who never thought about it. You see, we live in a day where we call it the Lord's Day. Is not a special day anymore. But some of us are old enough to remember when it was. Even people that were unsaved and even irreligious, it was a special day. It was set apart. People did not do any manual labor other than that which was necessary, and they did no more. It was a day where people did more actively get involved in church, social activities, Bible reading, prayer, revivals. It was a different day. And for young people growing up today, they did not see that. And I'm just telling you that it's not always been the way it is now. When we came to Connecticut, they had something called Blue Laws. And almost every store was closed on Sunday. There was nowhere to go. The restaurants were not open. Maybe a convenience store, but very few places that you could go. People had family meals. People went to church. Whether it was a gospel preaching church or not, they went to church. They saw it as a special day. It's called today, of course, the Lord's Day. The history of this Sabbath, and we'll compare the Sabbath and the Lord's Day a little bit later, but the history of this goes back to creation. We'll not turn to it right now, but you know the passage, I think, where the Lord made the heaven and earth 6 days. The ultimate creation was man, and then he rested on the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. It was a special day. Do you ever think about why did God do that? Why did he not just go to the next day? Say, here are 6 days, now you can go back to day one again after 6 days. But no, he said there's a seventh day. And that seventh day, man's not to do any work. There's be observance and spiritual contemplation, all these things that should be involved on that Sabbath day. But he ceased from his labor. Why did he do that? Why did he hallow that day? Why was it a special day? Why a religious day? Why a sacred day? What was the purpose behind it? The reason is because he knew man needed that day. And if man worked every single day and never gave reference to God, before you know it, he's irreligious. When you go through the Old Testament and you see how often when the children of Israel got away from God, he said, you didn't hallow the Sabbath day. You desecrated the Sabbath day. That was one of their great sins. Why would it be called sin? Because God made it for our benefit and we should follow it. We should understand it. On the sixth day, man is created and man had a purpose. He was a higher creation than all the rest of creation. He was made in the image of God. He was to have dominion over the earth. In other words, man is God's representation here on this earth. We are to act on his behalf. We have knowledge like God's knowledge as man was created. Life like God's life. Authority like his authority. Righteousness like God's righteousness. Man was created in intellectual and moral likeness that was unique to all the rest of creation. We are here to represent him on this earth. Well, what do we do with that? Does the average person understand that at all? Are people conscious of the fact that we represent God here on this earth? Well, the problem is, at least partly, we don't have time to think about that. We don't have time to contemplate that. We don't have time to come together and seek the face of God. And we go about our secular work, doing our deeds, our things, and selfishly living our lives. How can man remember his spiritual mission and his necessity for God, dependence on God? How can he be brought into communion with God if he has no time to think about him? Isn't that the curse of our society today? People are busy about doing all kinds of things except thinking about God. And if a man sin, how's he going to be brought back to forgiveness? Do you ever notice that we are sinful people? We have our struggles. That is there any hope for us? Well, if we had time to think about it, we'd realize from the Word of God, he loves us and he'll restore us. But without that special day, without a sacred day, without a place, a time to meet together and seek the face of God, we just go on our way. And we cover everything up with guilt or we become calloused. This special day is a day to contemplate that God can work in our lives and be near us, and we can draw closer to Him. It was a reminder of the need of spiritual refreshment. If we do not have that, then we dry up. Then we see, not only at creation, we see at the time of the giving of the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. Even before the commandments were given on Mount Sinai, remember what God gave them to eat? He gave them manna. And He gave manna every day. They'd go out and they would pick up some manna off the ground. They'd bring it together, and it was angels' food. It was nourishment to them. That's how they lived. God said, I'll feed you, except one day. That was the seventh day. On the sixth day, they'd go around and pick up double what they had before, and it was nourishment for that day, but they didn't do any work on that seventh day. And then we know in the Ten Commandments it was given. Now, the Ten Commandments are divided really into two sections. You have worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart, love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. You can divide the Ten Commandments where one half talk about your relationship to God and the other half your relationship to man. But the relationship to God, the last one is remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And it goes into detail more than any of the other commandments. You're not doing any work therein and so on and so forth. Why did he give them that? What was the purpose behind it? So they wouldn't forget the Lord God. So that they would have a relationship with Him. So they would have a time to be re-energized and encouraged. And Exodus 20 verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It means sacred, set apart, a special day. It's the Lord's day today. Amen. Just because I'm from Indiana, I'll give this law. You could find it in a lot of other places. But the law of the state of Indiana had a penalty among its general laws, and I have the statute and everything here. Here's how it read. If any person of the age of 14 years and upward shall be found on the first day of the week, commonly called Sunday, at common labor or engaged in unusual vocation, works of charity and necessity only excepted, such person shall be fined in any sum not less than one nor more than $10, but nothing herein contained shall be construed to affect such a conscientiously observed the seventh day of the week as the Sabbath. That a law that you had to cease from labor on Sunday. As a young child, I do remember this, riding to church as a maybe 3 or 4 year old child. And my parents saw a farmer out in the field in his tractor on that Sunday. Now, they didn't go out and publicly shame him. They didn't report him. But I could tell the disdain they had as they said, he shouldn't be doing that. He should not be out in the field. Can you imagine somebody today saying, wow, why is everybody shopping and why is everybody working? Why is everybody doing all this? They wouldn't even think about it. They have no clue what you're talking about. But it doesn't change God's law. It doesn't change the purpose behind it. And as a Christian, we have to understand the purpose behind it. It's for our benefit. The Sabbath is made for man. It's for our benefit. It is to draw us closer to the Lord. As we've had the experience of sheltering at home, staying out of the public, it's given us time to contemplate and think, reevaluate. Hopefully, spending more time in our Bible and prayer and seeking God. It is only a subtle reminder that's what the first day of the week should be. It should be like that year round. Then the Sabbath found in the Ten Commandments. And then in other times we'll see there's a Sabbath. Isaiah 66, in verse 23 it says, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. The end of Isaiah is very prophetic. And as you look forward, there are different periods of time. And somewhere in the future, there's still going to be a day of rest. There's still going to be a Sabbath sometime in prophecy in the future. The Sabbath was made for man for all time. There's a principle that man needs to rest. Every week, one day out of seven, man needs to rest and observe the Lord. Go with me to Matthew 22, please. Matthew 22 and verse 35. Matthew 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, as I said, the first commandments all reflect our relationship to God. But what is the context of it here? It doesn't specifically say it in Exodus 20, but it tells us here to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. If we want to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, the observance of the Sabbath is for that purpose, to teach us to love him, to appreciate who he is and what he means to us. The first commandment then covers the need to love God and how we should live that way. As we read through our text, we see the Pharisees had a misunderstanding. Their problem was they were trying to follow the law. That to us today is hard to comprehend, but they were trying to be spiritual. But when you just follow the law itself brings death. The law does not bring life. The law was to point men to their need and to Christ. But they felt it was all in all. And they thought the more strict we can be, the more spiritual we are. There was a misunderstanding. It's our aspiration to grow up in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, it was the aspiration of the Jew, those that were pious, in all respects of the law. But Luke puts it this way, to walk in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They carefully counted every step so that everything they did was measured. They had all the commandments lined up, and they counted all the shalt nots at total 365, one for every day, thou shalt not. And then they added up all the thou shalts, and there were 248 positive commandments. If they followed all 613, now they felt like they were doing the right thing. It was outward. As they ask this question or make these accusations, why do your disciples eat corn on the Sabbath, that which is not lawful? They had the wrong concept of the purpose of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. There was a purpose behind it, a benefit to it. When we look at Christ, the Sabbath in Christ's time was a veil over the people's eyes. It blinded the Jews, and they couldn't see beyond the walls of the synagogue and later the temple. He wanted to show them the Father. He wanted to show them the depth and purpose behind what's being done. Purposely, he cured a sick man on the Sabbath day. Take up thy bed and walk. And they said, oh, is that right for him to do that on the Sabbath day? He purposely showed them the error and their misunderstanding. Well, what if a man have an ox that fall into a pit? What would you do on the Sabbath day? Well, you go pull them out. Well, that's what you do to a lost soul. You go pull them out of hell and get them saved so that he's going to heaven. They missed or misinterpreted the purpose of the Sabbath day. Well, then we talk about the Lord's Day. We want to talk about its origin, how this came about. Why don't we meet on Friday night or Saturday up till dusk instead of on Sunday? That's a good question. I think Christians need to understand this. It's mentioned in the book of Acts at the time when the disciples came together to break bread at the time of the Lord's Supper. So Acts 20 and verse 7. Here's what it says. And upon the first day of the week, what day is that? Sunday, first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Paul preached on the first day of the week because it became a substantial day for Christian worship. The Jews, Christian Jews, still observe the Sabbath, but to the Gentiles, no. And the, Christian Jewish people also observed the first day of the week. They did both. It was important in the early church. In 1 Corinthians 16, 2, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath promised him, that there be no gatherings when I come. They were taking special offerings, and it specifically states the first day of the week, Sunday. This early church had a unique relationship with that first day of the week, and we understand why. That's also mentioned in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Revelation 1, 10. The Lord's day is the first day of the week. It was a relation of the Lord's day to the Sabbath, but they were two distinct things. The Sabbath was given to the Jews as a covenant. They were to observe that day that goes along with all the law. But something happened during the time of the early church. It was the resurrection. The resurrection occurred on the first day of the week. That's when they saw that Jesus was raised from the dead. And to make a distinction of the new covenant, he fulfilled the old. Now we have something new. And that's why they met on the first day of the week. Turn with me to Colossians 2. Colossians 2 and verse 16, we see Paul's teaching on this. Colossians 2:16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Paul said, now don't let them judge you about all these Jewish laws, and he includes the Sabbath in there. Don't let them judge you on that because they missed the purpose. This is now fulfilled in Christ. Romans 14 and verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Some would say this day or that day is better. The truth is every day is important to live for God. But to think they cannot observe the Lord's day was certainly wrong. And so every aspect of the early church and in the early church fathers tells us this became that special day. You might say baptism was what replaced circumcision of the Old Testament. There are numerous things that we see in fulfillment of the Old Testament. Now we see how it is realized through Christ. We have Justin Martyr, one of the early church fathers, as early as 138 AD. Here's what he stated. We, all of us, assemble together on Sunday, because on the same day also Jesus Christ our Savior rose from the dead. He appeared to his apostles and disciples and taught them what we now submit to your consideration. It is evident from this and from other historical documents, Christ's resurrection made the first day the Lord's day. Paul said, let no man judge you in meat or drink or a respect of holy day or of Sabbath days. The Lord's day marks the completion of redemption. Think about that. It was because he rose again for our redemption. And that being fulfilled, that's why that first day is so significant. As the Sabbath was the completion of creation, now we have a new creation fulfilled in Christ on the first day of the week. The resurrection is commemorated. Irenaeus points out, on the first day of the week, when God brought light out of darkness and chaos, it is the risen and enthroned Lamb who says, behold, I make all things new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is that new creation. The significance began and continued from the early church. For those Jewish Christians, the Sabbath became of no necessity as time went by. Of the Gentile Christians, it was automatic, and that's all they observed. They did not observe the Sabbath because they were not Jewish. We have seen that continue up until this day. The use then of the gift, what is the purpose behind? What value then is it? He said the Sabbath was made for man. Then in what way is that of benefit to man? It's a gift to help man because man needed it. Man needs it. It is a permanent blessing. It is in the Lord's day we can realize our nearness, our affinity to God. We need times like that. If we don't have times like that, we get backslidden, out of the will of God. That's why church is essential. Amen. Church is essential because people need to come together to worship and serve the Lord. And today we're trying to buy time, but the time's going to come, and it's happening all over the country. People are saying, we have to start meeting. Amen. In some cases, in defiance of what the government said, because it's essential. You know, you reach a point, enough's enough, and we're going to have to meet. You know, in China and some communist countries and other places, you have to meet in privacy. You have to meet underground. Now, who would want to do that? No one. But it is that essential that if that's what it comes to, that's what you do. Amen. It is made for man because man needs it. We need fellowship. We need to reserve time to meditate and seek God. If you read some of the books that go back in time, you'll find interwoven throughout those stories that that were 70, 80 years ago, some even less, that the Sabbath or that the Lord's Day was strictly observed. In some cases, people, they wouldn't allow their children to read any secular book whatsoever. It would only be religious books. To us, that might seem rather strict, but it reminds us there was a day where there were great revivals swept this country. There was a day when you could see pictures of people being baptized by the scores. There are pictures you can get on the internet, and you see here are people in white robes, they're following the Lord in baptism. You can see meetings where people gather together by the throngs. Sunday school meeting together in a little country area, 5,000 people in Sunday school, hundreds going, where today many of those same churches are empty with just a handful of elderly people. Is there any significance to the desecration of the Lord's Day? There's some. Certainly there's some. We've forgotten God. And when we forget God, we're in trouble. The gift of the Sabbath or this Lord's Day is for every man's, for our benefit. And we all have that right to share in it. That's a great thing. That whether you're rich or poor, you can enjoy that day. Whether you're really busy and a corporate executive, or whether you're someone who's retired on a fixed income, we can all take that day and that time and enjoy it together. Sunday can't be a day, cannot be a day well and wisely spent if a man does what he wants and neglects to do what he knows he needs to do and thinks only of himself. It has to be a time to consecrate to the Lord. It's a day where the family can come together and worship the Lord. Coming to church with a family is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a necessary thing. We can fix our heart on things above where rust and moth does not corrupt. We can think of eternal things where thieves can't break through and steal. It is a day when lost souls can profess faith in Christ and hear the gospel and get saved. It is a day where we can all share in those blessings. It is a gift for the whole man. It meets every need that man has. God's the one that created us. He has a plan for us, but the Sabbath helps to meet the need of the whole man. Someone wrote, "A Sunday well spent brings a week of content and health for the toils of tomorrow, but a Sunday profaned, whate'er may be gained, is a certain precursor of sorrow." It's a cute little poem that reminds us Sunday is a special day. How is it helpful to us? This we know to be true. Everybody needs rest and sleep. Some get more, some get less. Some don't need any more. But for a lot of us, we get busy. And it's a time for our physical health. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples? Let's come apart unless you wear yourselves out and rest a while. Come apart for a period of time. We all need that period of time. We all need that time to contemplate. What is happening nationwide, worldwide, should be a time for us to come apart and think, what is my life really, what is the meaning of my life? What is it really important to me? Yeah, am I really living for God? Am I effectively doing what he wants? Do I understand scripture? Am I living a holy life? These are things that it gives us time to do it. But once this scare is over, people are going to go right back to where they were. This Lord's Day is a reminder. We have to stop and pause. We're not going to accomplish more by working 7 days a week than we do on six. It's interesting, one of the most, of all the chicken chains, the most profitable, Chick-fil-A, and they're closed on Sunday. Isn't that interesting? How do they make it? Their business is all over the United States. They close on Sunday, and yet they're still surviving. It can be done. In fact, it may be better for it to be done that way. It is for our physical health that makes us stronger. We need time to rest, recuperate. It's also good for our mental health. Did you ever get to a point where you're stressed? Is there anxiety? You wake up anxious? Oh, I've got to do this and that. Did you ever look at your list of, how am I going to get all that done today? When you come to the Lord's Day, you can just say, no list. There's nothing. I'm not going to do anything. Anxiety can bring depression, even insanity. It's good for our mental health to shut down, to have a day to recuperate. It goes all the way back to creation. Man needs a day. Even the fields, the farmer realized ever so often you got to let the field be idle. You keep taking everything from it, there's no nourishment going back into it. And our bodies are the same way. It's good for our moral health. If we'd stop and think about what we're doing, we might not do stupid things. If we stop and think about it, we just don't stop and think about it. And sometimes we just trudge ahead and we get into trouble. It's good for our moral health to draw us closer to the Lord, more surrendered to his will, and understanding and sensitive to the leading of God in our lives. See, the Sabbath was made for man. It's not just a guideline of strictness that we have to follow and demand, but for our benefit. It is a good thing for us. It's necessary for our spiritual health, obviously. It's where we can draw from the Word of God, from fellowship, being in church. Isn't it a blessing to be here today? Amen. You know, I know there's some people that love to be here and they just feel that they can't right now. I understand that. But what a blessing to be here. And I'm seeing everybody, the first time you walk back in, it's like, wow, I'm home. Wow, it feels good to be back. Amen. It's a good thing for our spiritual health. And then it is a gift that's without repentance. He's not changed his mind about it. And it's going to be forever. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Do you realize that one day there will be a final rest? We'll lay down our burdens. We get to heaven, there's no more pain, sickness or suffering. There's no more dying. He'll wipe away all the tears and it will be what's called an eternal rest. As we go through all the troubles of all these millennia, the day is coming. We will be totally at rest. A Sabbath forever. A time of rest forever. Resting in him. It is a blessed day and infallible prophecy of the eternal rest that awaits us in heaven. It's just a picture of what is yet to come. The Sabbath. It is here we have conflicts and trials. This life is full of toil, strife, disappointment, bereavement. The rest which remains to come will be perfect. The toil here, but the rest is yonder. The conflict is here, but the victory is over there. The cross is here, but the crown is up there. The sorrow is here, but the happiness is coming. As we think about it, this has been a good thing in some ways. To get people to stop, pause, and think, what is my life really about? What am I accomplishing and what am I doing? Lord, I need you. I need you. The Sabbath was made for man. For us, it's the Lord's Day. It should be a day set apart, sacred, belongs to him. Not just a day of entertainment and recreation or work, but a day for him. Let's bow for prayer.